But you are listening to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. The show is a convergence of mass media with Laser Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to open up the coverage to a national standpoint here for the final hour of the program today. If at any time you want to join in on the conversation, hopefully we can get this phone thing figured out. The number to call in is 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. You guys been watching the NBA playoffs?
Of course. Come on. Basketball addict over here. You know that.
All right. So for the tough deals of the week, there's some video floating around of Russell Westbrook and Cameron Payne. Their pregame
gigging,
routine.
Straight gigging.
It's an elaborate dance.
I mean, they hit like four or five different, like, you know, like mainstream social media dances.
Current dances, yes.
They hit the dab. They hit the little running man last night. They do the whole do the Dougie. They do is everything.
Yes,
they got it. You name it. It's in there.
They're doing it. All right. So it's something they've been doing all year long, too. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not new.
This is nothing new. But it is playoff time. I mean, we saw Patrick Beverley and Steph Curry get into a shoving match.
In game one,
if Steph Curry's going to shove people, I mean, this is the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
It's a different time.
So, obviously, you guys have all probably seen the video of Charlie Villanueva, who I did not believe was still in the league.
He's still in the league.
No, I know. I didn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, who is that again? It's him? All right, cool. Anyway, he tried to kind of interrupt the routine. I guess you could call it before the game two.
I mean, he passively aggressively stepped in the middle of the two to block
what was going on.
Eye contact,
because they kind of stare at each other and do the same dance moves and get excited and do whatever they're doing, you know, right? So, Westbrook responded by, you said passive aggressively with Villanueva. I'm going to say aggressively moving Villanueva out from the middle of them.
Oh, he grabbed him and threw him and continued to dance even harder.
All
one motion turned into a dance move. It was fantastic.
So, Villanueva ended up responding to the incident the next day with like a Snapchat from his own car. It's like him with his phone out, filming himself talking, saying stuff like, if you want to dance, save that for the nightclub. Go do that after the game. Don't bring that to your basketball game. So I'm going to lob it up right here. Let's get the conversation going. Is this type of pregame or postgame, does this type of stuff belong in sports in general? Why or why not?
Heine, you want to take it? Or
Yeah, take it,
Heine. Right.
First of all, I know you're excited about this topic because I could see you just beaming over there.
First of all, this is a star-driven league. And
agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
Russell
it's a
Westbrook,
players' league, definitely.
Yes, exactly. Russell Westbrook, arguably top three basketball player right now.
You're wrong, but that's okay.
All right. You can argue about it, but you can do whatever
he
wants.
He's three. You're right. I'll give you three.
He can do whatever he wants before a game. It's not disrupting the team. He's done it every single game, so it's not just a random time. Mm-hmm. He's winning. It would be a different thing if he wasn't winning.
Yeah, it'd be a different thing if he was Kobe.
But they lost that game.
So
it was before. It was
before the game.
Okay.
First of all, then I have a problem with Charlie Villanueva actually doing it, because who is he? He averages 5.3 games or 5.3 points per game.
Right.
3 rebounds a game. And 0.4 assists. What is that guy doing 2 minutes before the game in middle of the court? I don't know. And the reason why he's mad at it, he thinks it's a little bit immature. Personally, I think he has no credibility to talk about it, because in 2009, against the Boston Celtics when he was playing for the Bucks. So he thinks dancing before a game is immature. At halftime against the Celtics in a real game in March 15th, he tweets, "In the locker room, snuck to post my tweet. We're playing the Celtics tie ball game at the half. Coach wants more toughness. I got to step it up." So you think dancing before a game is immature, but he tweets in the middle of a game at halftime.
That's some research, Heine.
I don't get why
Kellen made the right decision.
I don't get why he's critiquing.
Tip the hat to Kellen. This
I did not get why he's take Kellen's job. Wrestling. Kellen, you stay home.
Kellen can stay.
Here comes the phone call.
So here comes the phone call. All of a sudden, flashing light. So is that your piece on this? On Charlie?
He has no credit. If it was Dirk, I could maybe. He's not playing the game.
He's a non-factor.
Yeah,
that's how I treat it. Charlie Villanueva is a non-factor. He plays garbage minutes. garbage minutes. He plays the Ian Clark during the regular season minutes. Ian Clark was fantastic last night playing huge minutes. But he was playing the Ian Clark regular season garbage minutes.
Oh, yeah.
He's a non-factor on this team. I don't have a problem with Charlie Villanueva. I don't. I mean, I understand what he was trying to do. Yeah. He was just trying to play a little head game. But if I was Russell Westbrook, I would have looked at him and been like, dude, you're going to be on the end of that bench the entire game. Why drop 30? So you can sit down. And gone on my merry way. But, characters. That's what sells. Yeah, that sells in the NBA. Like, especially like in baseball. Like, who do you buy tickets to watch?
Bryce Harper.
Who else?
Mike Trout.
Who else?
But those are two completely different characters.
No, those two, but who are you going to? Are you going to buy tickets to go play see those guys?
Yeah, they're two. So, one for the character, one for the talent.
Okay, so if you're going to go, let's say. Say you're a Brewers fan,
right?
Okay, who are you gonna go? Who are you gonna buy tickets when they come to town? Who are you gonna buy tickets? The Angels, and who else?
Nationals.
The Nationals. Okay, and let's say you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan. Who are you gonna buy tickets when who comes to town?
Definitely not Charlie Villanueva.
Definitely not the Mavericks. Definitely not the Mavericks. So who are you gonna buy tickets when they come to town?
Westbrook, LeBron.
So Cavs, Warriors, and Heat. Thunder,
yep.
And Heat.
Yep.
Okay? So the big personalities, LeBron, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook in his whole entire wardrobe, which is louder than I can ever be in my lifetime.
That's tough.
And Dwayne Wade, who, I mean, the Flash is the Flash. You got to love the guy. So character stuff. I mean, even back in the old days of the NFL, Terrell Owens. Sells. Why? He pulls a Sharpie out of his sock, signs the ball, and hands it. He pulls popcorn down his face. He grabs the cameraman's camera. Marshawn Lynch pours Skittles down his face. That sells. That character sells. I'm just here so I won't get fined. That sells. Okay? Conor McGregor for the UFC. That's a character right there.
Right.
Lost his last fight to Nate Diaz. Who cares? Yeah. That dude sells. What's the stat? He made $400 million in the last 8 months for the UFC.
Enough to retire on.
Enough. No. And he did not retire. He rescinded that retirement. I believe we'll see him fight Nate Diaz in UFC 200. Hopefully. That's a whole different thing.
So let's get it back right down. Okay, you're saying the characters sell.
Yeah.
And you got to let these players be themselves.
Correct.
So why then have leagues like the NFL have,
and the NCAA, most importantly.
Sure. Why have they eliminated the dancing in the end zones?
Okay.
Why is that a penalty now? Oh,
man. I feel so like
I really hate. I listen to a few different radio broadcasts.
Sure.
I listen to the Herd religiously every day. Podcast. Okay. So I listen to DP in the morning. Dan Patrick. Love Dan Patrick. And every once in a while, I'll tune in to the Rich Eisen show. Those three are the top, I believe, are the top sports talk guys. I don't like Mike and Mike. I don't like, His and Hers. I don't like, Pardon the Interruption, The First Take. That's not for me. I like those three guys. And I hate to bring their opinions in here, but I think what Colin Cowherd says about it being a bunch of grumpy old men sitting on their throne trying to make the game this brilliant, esoteric, on a pedestal thing is wrong. It's just wrong. They're making rules because they want to see baseball be pure and boring. Let me tell you this right now. Bryce Harper comes to town and he throws his bat 20 feet in the air when he hits a grand slam. That sells. I'm sorry, but it does. So it's a bunch of grumpy old men. I mean, and you don't need Stevie Wonder could tell you that the NFL leadership and the NCAA leadership and the NBA leadership has its shortcomings. And the MLB leadership has its shortcomings. They could tell you that. I mean, the most brilliant example of this in the NCAA was what happened to Miami University. On the second go-around of their brilliant run was, they, got in trouble for all the dancing and celebrating and whatever. But and the NCAA held this, investigation over them after their thing for, 20 years and then never came down with a verdict until, 8 years later. That was their punishment, was having to wait that long for that. I mean, these leaderships are not the best.
They're out of touch.
Okay. They're out of touch. I mean,
I know. What do you think?
All right. My opinion, especially in baseball, the only person, when I'm watching SportsCenter,
yep.
And I see Bryce Harper, you see the crowds packed, right?
Oh, yeah. So
opening week, I don't forgot what team it was. I think it was like the Diamondbacks and the Marlins.
Uh-huh.
Opening week, and I see a home run, and I see barely anyone in the crowds.
Oh, anybody. No one cares.
Who's the best player on Diamondbacks right now, off the top of your head?
Zach Greinke.
Other than when he's not pitching?
The pitcher.
Best player on the Padres right now. No one knows.
Paul Goldschmidt. Diamondbacks are a good team. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm saying like I'm saying star-driven. Okay, like,
time out. Well, yeah. But how many of their highlights do you see on ESPN?
Probably
zero.
Probably for their uniforms. Those things are ugly.
That's the only thing that they get attention for.
Yeah, zero. Yeah. So think about that for a second. Just like what sells. That doesn't sell. I mean, you could be a great ball club, but it's a 162-game season. Playoffs are less than 20% of the MLB season. That's the only part anybody tunes into, unless you're a diehard. Like, the casual baseball fan is only going to tune in for the playoffs. That's it. And you know who's going to be in the playoffs?
Padres.
Sorry. I just got indigestion. I don't know if I can even finish this thought right now. But
that's
twice.
You know who's
gonna be
so quick with it.
You know who's going to be in the playoffs is, you know, the teams with stars. That's who usually rises to the top.
Mm.
Usually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like I feel like the dancing and the celebrating, that was good for the NFL when it was
awesome.
There. I felt like it drove attendance, it drove views, it drove people to watch SportsCenter. I felt it was good for a bunch of different businesses, especially as ESPN was coming up and, you know, the game was starting to be built for the highlight reel and what everyone does that's cool. And, you know, I will never forget, I got my Blue Jays hat on in here, but I will never forget the time where I think it's Batista hits the home run and he flips his bat up in the air and walks to first base.
The seventh and the sixth.
Yeah. And walks.
It's on YouTube. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah, and walks.
One of the best innings of baseball ever.
And walks to first base.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible. And everyone was like, "Oh, the bat flip! It's so disrespectful. Who cares? Who gives one?" The guy was having a blast. He was having fun playing the game he loves. Sue me.
Yeah, the NFL has to realize that having fun is not a bad thing.
It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Just ask them. Just ask them. The NCAA, oh my gosh, it's a big deal now if you spike the football in the end zone. Oh, good. You have to walk it, hand it to the referee, and you can't jump up and down with your teammates in the end zone anymore for risk of a 15. I mean, come on.
Even EA Sports Madden, the opening scene is Odell Beckham doing the whip. So they know that the dancing
sells.
But I don't get why the NFL is so – I think it's their pride.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to the crowd and give them what they want because they think their way is the right way.
You know, we talked about it last week, Christian, about make baseball fun again.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of it right here. If you're going to – I mean, if you're as tribal in a way, it was like, oh, yeah, don't dance in the basketball court. I mean, what does Steph Curry do every time he hits a three? Shimmy, double chest tap, points to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Andre Iguodala does his quiet down thing. Russell Westbrook gets excited and does his deal. Dirk Nowitzki dunks the ball and does the Vince Carter. I mean, people love that. I mean, I just don't understand what the big deal is. I feel like it's just a bunch of grumpy old men saying this is the way the game's supposed to be played. Who cares what you have to say? I'm not paying to come see this game to watch you tell me how the game's supposed to be played. I don't care.
So put it into your perspective for me, both you guys. All right, Heine, you're on the football team. Drew, you're on the basketball team. If someone on the other team is beating you and then dances on top of it, how are you going to feel now?
Oh, it's going to push me to make a better play.
That pushes you. Because you know what I'm saying now is I want to hit a couple threes in a row and give him a little something.
Right.
You know, give him a little. You know, Russell Westbrook just drop. You know. Spinning wheel three or hold the James Harden three down as you run down the court. That's something you want to do. I mean, I've seen Dylan Foreman absolutely go ballistic after a 4-point play. Like he was Ray Lewis coming out of the tunnel. I mean, that's part of the game. If you can't accept that, then I just don't know. But if another teammate does that, that fires you up more. You're like, okay, now I want to go out there and get mine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to go out there and help make a big play and help make a big stop. And so I can say something, so I can do something. You know what I mean? So I can get the cheers. It's one of those
things. It makes the game better. Like, you have way more fun when you're going against someone, making it you versus him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's no right or wrong, though, with it.
Oh, no, but they're trying to make it clearly the wrong.
Can you see where leagues like the NFL are going with that. You can't. You don't understand.
I don't understand. They're trying to make the game less fun. But mind you, if you breathe on a quarterback now, it's a 15.
So if is it out of fear of not knowing what those players could do? Has go to your Terrell Owens reference. Has he ruined it for the next generations?
Terrell Owens made football fun for like 4 years. Chad Ochocinco made football fun.
You obviously know T.O. didn't ruin football because the ratings are going through the roof. They're making more money. So saying dancing is making the NFL not as professional or not losing money is a terrible thing to say because the facts go right against it.
Yeah, but the data goes against it.
I feel like the NFL is just really strict on the – I get it. They're strict on it because they don't want the players to come over the team. They don't want to go the players over the shield of the NFL.
Yeah,
so they want it to seem professional.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it, but it really doesn't make sense.
At the end of the day, I will quote Yogi Bear. At the end of the day, it's a game. Adults just screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. Mm-hmm. Let them have fun. The game was baseball meant for kids. It was not meant for adults. And the unwritten rules of baseball make me like hurt on the inside. I'm a baseball player.
There's a lot.
And I'm a baseball player. But the fact that you're not allowed to flip your bat after you take a pitcher yard on a grand slam and you hit the ball 400 some odd feet, you're not allowed to flip your bat and take your time to first base. It's ridiculous. Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, one of the most heralded baseball players of all time, that man took his time around the bases after he went deep. Took his time. I just don't understand. I don't get it, man. I mean, maybe one day one you guys can explain to me why dancing is bad, why showboating is bad, why ego is bad. I don't get it. It sells.
Okay, you mentioned ego. Is that a part of not wanting to see the other player, you know, get ready in that way with the dance moves and all that stuff? Is it Villanueva's ego being like, hey, calm down, let's play, and then we can talk about that kind of stuff? Or
okay,
what's the deal?
Okay, so what are you going to say when LeBron comes and does the chalk and pops it up in the air and does this, or when Kevin Garnett goes down to the stanchion below the basketball hoop and bangs his head on it, Blake Griffin goes up, grabs the rim and does 4 pull-ups with his head coming through the hoop? What do you want to say?
What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do every time Wesley Matthews, Charlie Villanueva's teammate, hits a 3, pulls out his bow and arrow like he's Oliver Queen or Katniss Everdeen and shoots his arrow? Like, what are you going to say?
Could you think
he can't do that
of
anymore?
The reaction that Villanueva would get, or any other player that would get, if LeBron put the chalk in his hands, they go over there and smack it out of his hands.
Oh my! First off, that's a fine in the NBA.
How
guaranteed because it's
that
LeBron
be,
James.
Though?
That's a fine.
No, yeah.
Hands down, that's a fine just because it's LeBron. But I mean,
oh my,
it would be
awesome.
So good.
That would be awesome.
It'd
you know
so
what?
Good.
You know what? If it happens, I dare somebody on the air right now. I dare someone for that reason to go over there and smack LeBron's chalk out of his hands. Like, you can't do that. That's showboating. That's trying to draw too much attention to yourself. Forget that. I mean, Dwayne Wade goes over and does this in Miami, taps his chest and gets the crowd excited like this. I mean, he's drawing attention to himself. All Russell Westbrook and Cameron Payne are doing are just having a little fun between the two of them. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Just staring at each other.
I
yeah.
mean, you could say Steph Curry's now dribble warm-up routine, which has become famous. Mm-hmm. And there's 900. I mean, I've been on the floor for Mavericks. So Charlie Villanueva was there for Mavericks Warriors. And there are 900 cameras around Steph Curry like this doing his dribble warm-up routine. No one could give a rat's about everyone else.
Right.
And could you say he's taking it? He's being selfish, taking away from the game just because he's over there trying to do his warm-up routine. Who cares how Russell Westbrook gets ready for the game? I mean, you see the way he dresses? That's loud enough on its own. I mean, the guy's got style, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy knows how to dress. But, I mean, seriously, like, you're going to complain about him and Cameron Payne having a tiny bit of fun in the playoffs? Like, really? I mean, that's
so
just
childish. So the overwhelming response would be players need to dance and have fun, at least from the guys in this room right now.
I mean,
players need to dance and have fun.
You don't need to, but be allowed to.
But it should be a part of it.
It should be a part of it. Who cares?
And no one should get in the face. No one should be offended if that kind of stuff is going on.
They're not dancing to make fun of you.
They're not like, oh, yeah, Charlie Villanueva, you're terrible. No. They're just having fun, man. They're just trying to get ready. They're trying to make the NBA. It's a game. Trying to make it fun. Everyone tries to make it seem like a job. I mean, sometimes as a college athlete, it seems like a job. I'm not going to lie. But at least have fun. I mean, we try to make it fun. Coach Dickerson even tries to make it fun for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He allowed us to have music in practice this year. That's fun. You know, you get Dickerson rapping a little Eminem. That's fun during practice. That's fun. We enjoy that stuff. You know? It's like, have fun. Don't freak out. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's sports. Have fun. That's the end of that.
Yeah, it's sports.
All right. That's the end of the Tough Deals of the Week. We're going to take a short break. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Jenny Finch. As a pitcher, I love a save. But when it comes to kids, the greatest save is the one we never have to make. That's why the Chicago Bandits and Major League Baseball support KinderVision, the national child safety education program dedicated to keeping kids safe. Kids, don't go anywhere with anyone without checking with your parents. If your parents don't know, you don't go. Kids, learn from Little Red Riding Hood. If you don't feel safe, you probably aren't. Remember red, use your head.
Join the KinderVision team. The greatest save is the one we never have to make.
Welcome back to
We just love Jenny Finch on this show.
Yeah, we do. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Since baseball isn't important on this show, we're going to go ahead and jump into some NBA playoffs.
No, it's not that baseball is not important. It's that Mariners baseball is not important. I just love when I say that and Christian just like cringes. Like it's like against everything in his being.
Just drop the Mariners thing out of that, and you got baseball's not important.
Well, I mean, baseball's
I know the role here.
I mean, I like baseball, so don't get me wrong. I mean, you know where my allegiances lie. So it's an even year. We'll win the series. But we can talk NBA playoffs now.
Yeah, what are your takeaways from the first couple of games of the first round, which is unnecessary and not needed?
Yeah, the first round was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a bunch of walk-arounds. I mean, I guess the only surprise was that Houston beat the Warriors, Steph Curryless Warriors last night. I mean, good for them.
In Houston.
I mean, good for them, but that won't happen again. And the Warriors, shooting as bad as they did and playing as poorly as they did, had a chance to win it and went ahead with a couple seconds left. And then James Harden got away with a pretty decent off arm, I'm not going to lie. I've seen the Emol's bench press like that in the weight room quite a few times. That was pretty bad.
I like the Rockets bench reaction.
Oh, my.
They were so excited.
They were just mean mugging. Like, they didn't even care that James Harden had made that shot.
They were just like, really? You're just like, this is an exercise in futility. You're just prolonging our season by another game.
Yeah, we're trying to golf sooner.
There's no way that the Rockets will beat the Warriors again. And I know I tweeted this last night. It was that Steph Curry, we will see him in game four because of that loss, and that will be the first question that Steve Kerr was asked in the presser, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted that last night, right after the game ended.
Do you think the players not celebrating on the bench is more because they want the series to get over, or maybe it's because James Harden was the one who made this shot? There's a lot of rumors that they don't like James Harden.
Well, does like James Harden? James Harden could defend that lamp over there if he wanted to. He's terrible on defense. Absolutely atrocious. Like, especially in the NBA, when you have a frame like that and you're that athletic, I don't understand why you can't be a good defender. It's all want. Defense is like 90% want, 10% know-how. Like, I just don't get it. Like, he could be probably one of the premier defenders in the NBA just because of his length and athleticism and first step, but he just, like, chooses not to
be. Yeah, it just shows you that he doesn't care for his teammates.
And then no team with Dwight Howard on it will ever win anything because he's a huge cancer. Just, it's terrible. I mean, there's no team unity on the Rockets. I mean, it's shown everywhere he's gone. Mavericks couldn't get it done. Then goes to LA, couldn't get it done. Then goes to Houston, couldn't get it done.
Yeah, he should have never left.
Should have never left Orlando.
Yeah, no.
No, he was in a perfect situation. Yeah. And I mean, now you just look at, and then you look around the West. I mean, the Spurs, I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. Warriors,
hold on.
Foregone. What's up?
We'll go by matchups.
We'll go by matchups. So talk us through them.
End of discussion. Golden State Warriors in five, right?
In five, yeah. The Rockets got lucky.
All right, let's move on to the next game in the West. We got the LA Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers. Clippers are up 2-0. So a couple takeaways from that series.
Blake Griffin being healthy is the big difference maker. Blake Griffin is a premier athlete. I wouldn't say he's the greatest basketball player in the world, but him and DeAndre Jordan both crashing the hole at the same time. Chris Paul can pretty much throw the ball up wherever he wants near the backboard, and that ball is going to be at least 2 points.
Yeah,
JJ Redick. JJ Redick's the most efficient player in the NBA. He has the highest points per game in the first 5 minutes. He averages the most points in the first 5 minutes of any NBA game ever. He had 11 in the first 5 minutes the other day. I mean, he came in the league as a set shooter, and now he's a premier starter. You have Jamal Crawford, who's won the sixth man of the year for the league, third year in a row. I mean, Clippers are set. I mean, Dame's got game. And Dame's only going to be good for so long. He can only carry them so well. But when him and CJ McCollum both struggle from the field like they did the other night, they don't have a chance. And Al-Farouq Aminu, I mean, couldn't throw the ball into the Puget Sound at this point. He has been awful. They're just letting him shoot the ball.
Are you guys with the hack of DeAndre Jordan?
Absolutely. Part of the game.
It's part of the game.
Andre Drummond, he's terrible. I mean, he's a great athlete, but you can't make a shot. And DeAndre Jordan can't make a free throw either. So it's a free possession. I'd foul him every time.
Right.
I'd use every foul I had as long as he was in the game until they took him out. Because when he's on the floor, Dame's going to be able to get to the key and actually make shots. Dame got 8 of his shots blocked the other night. 8. That's insane. I mean, you get DeAndre Jordan out there, it's a brand new game. Blake Griffin can only do so much.
So, consensus on this series, Clippers in 4?
Clippers in 4.
Oh, 4. Not, it's a 4-5 matchup. You're gonna go.
Unless Dame has a 50 game, it's in 4. If Dame puts up 50 one game, it'll be in 5.
No, not with Lillard. Everyone thought his team wasn't going to be that good with the 4 losing starters. So there's no way Dame Lillard is going to let his team get swept. Maybe 6. I think 6.
Okay.
6 with a 4-5 matchup. That's not unreasonable. All right, let's move on. Oklahoma City and Dallas Mavericks. It's a 3-6 matchup. OKC is leading the series right now 2-1.
They don't match up well. At all.
Who doesn't match up with the Mavericks?
Mavericks don't match up well at all. Chandler Parsons is out, so you have no length to guard Durant. Russell Westbrook is unguardable.
No guards.
J.J. Barea, I love the Puerto Rican, but that little man cannot guard Russell Westbrook. That dude's a freak. And then Wesley Matthews cannot guard Roberson. And then Steven Adams is too athletic for Dirk.
Yeah.
And then Serge Ibaka, who you have guarding him, Measury. That's a joke and a half. I mean, you can't guard him either. So, I mean, yeah, they can struggle shooting for one night, and the Mavericks can steal one, but that's sick. That game's over in 6. I have Thunder in 6.
I have Thunder in 5. I just feel like the game 2 was luck because I feel like they got lackadaisical, and maybe they thought they're going to take a series sweep, and I think it's going to be in 5.
All right, that's totally fair. Moving on, the final matchup in the West in the first round, San Antonio Spurs against a depleted Memphis Grizzlies team. San Antonio leads the series right now 2-0.
San Antonio's going to sweep. I don't even know why we're even talking about this
game.
The
TNT crew could beat them in a game.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? I mean, I have them. I picked the TNT crew to steal at least one game, if not two, from them. I mean,
I'm not even kidding. Like, I really think they could get one game.
You got Charles, Kenny, Weber.
Let's talk
Miller.
Current Charles Barkley, current Kenny Smith, current all those guys against the current Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, yes. Well, the Memphis Grizzlies are full of a bunch of D-League teams, a bunch of D-League players. You have to understand that now is that they've been so depleted by injury. I think they've had 28 different starting lineups this year in the NBA, and they still made the playoffs without their best player, Marc Gasol. Mike Conley's been hurt. That's their point guard. That's their guy. Between Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, excuse me, you have like 50 points a night. Between those two guys, and they're both out. And they're still competing in the playoffs. I mean, good for them. That's a well-run organization. But, I mean, they're not going to beat the Spurs. Spurs are too deep. Kawhi Leonard's probably the number 4 player, number 3 player in the NBA.
SDSU product right there.
He's scary. That man is scary. He's going to be, next 3 or 4 years, he'll win an MVP. He's that good.
Oh, that's safe to say.
He's that good.
So we're going with Spurs in 4 then.
Spurs in 4, that's a foregone conclusion. Especially if Patty Mills continues to shoot the ball the way he is. Aussie away. Good Lord.
All right, we're going to move on to the Eastern Conference now. Cleveland Cavaliers are against the Detroit Pistons in round 1 over in the East. Cleveland leads the series 2-0 right now. What do you guys got from it?
LeBron is crazy right now. He is in playoff mode. You see him dunk, and it's so much power. It's crazy. The guy
impressive.
Has a look in his
eyes.
Did you
see the Bleacher Report meme where they turned him into the Hulk?
Yeah,
when he did the flex, that was crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, Stanley Johnson's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting into LeBron's head.
No.
Stanley Johnson, you're 19 years old. Go home.
19. You just
go
took
home.
Your SAT 3 years ago.
Yeah, go home, dude. It's like Reggie Jackson can't guard Kyrie Irving. Okay. No. No one in this league can guard J.R. Smith. That dude's instant offense.
J.R. don't care.
J.R. has zero conscience. That man will shoot forever. LeBron James is the best athlete in the NBA. Wouldn't say he's the best player, but he's the best athlete in the NBA. Draws a lot of fouls because he is the best athlete in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Big, strong guy. You're going to get calls. Kevin Love, shooting the way he is right now, is the best stretch four in the NBA.
Yep.
It's the best stretch four in the NBA. They've been posting him up a lot, which is good. Allows Kevin Love to make his pump fakes, do his good moves around the hoop. And Mozgov is severely underrated. He is scary sometimes, what Mozgov does. And Dellavedova playing great minutes off the bench. I love that guy. He is fantastic. I mean, just hustle. I mean, he came in, had 8 assists and 9 points the other night. You know, splitting time with Kyrie Irving. I mean, When Dellavedova comes off a pick and roll, it's 2 points. If he gets free, it's two. Every time, either someone's going to get a lob. I call it the flob, the floating lob. Either it's a floater that goes in or someone's going to catch it and throw it down. So, Cavs in four.
Oh, Cavs in four.
Cavs in four. The only reason Detroit's been in either of those games is because they've shot over 50% in the first half, both games. So that's ridiculous. They were 10 of 13 from threes in the first half in game one, and they were like, oh, my gosh, the Pistons are great. No, oh, my gosh, the Pistons are just shooting well. They're not a good team. I mean, Stan Van Gundy's a great coach, and I think every dime of that $25,000 was worth it to get those three offensive foul calls on LeBron. But that's game's over, and that series over in four.
So Cavs in four, what we taken away from round one of the playoffs. Moving on in the Eastern Conference, we have the Atlanta Hawks facing off against the Boston Celtics. And right now, the Hawks lead the series 2-0.
This game, I think this series goes 6 or 7. I think the Celtics have severely underperformed. Brad Stevens is the second best coach in the NBA behind Greg Popovich. I think he's a better coach than Steve Kerr. He's turned a questionable Celtics team into a power very quickly. I think Isaiah Thomas is going to find his stride sooner or later. The loss of Avery Bradley was huge, but I still think the Celtics can make this competitive. It's hard because I really wanted the Celtics to do well, and they were one of my sleepers going in, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to work.
Is it me or the Hawks have been like the fourth seed for like the last 10 years?
They've just been consistently. Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Kent Bazemore, Paul Millsap, and Al Horford.
Yeah,
no one's a superstar. You got five guys who can play the game. Well,
even with like Joe Johnson, I feel like they've always been the fourth seed. It's the funniest thing to me.
ISO Joe, now it's that part of the Heat, but, who are now in the playoffs.
But I think Celtics aren't going to win the series due to the fact Avery Bradley's out. That's veteran leadership right there, and they're a young team, and they need that. It's like first time really being in the playoffs for most of them.
Who else we got here?
So what do you got in that series? Hawks in?
Six. Five. Hawks in five.
Yeah. You got Hawks in five, too?
Hawks in five.
All right, we'll see how that one turns out. That if I had to pick a series personally that I would actually pay attention to, it'd probably be that one. The rest of these ones I'd wait for the second round.
Yeah.
So this could turn out to be a good series. Boston down 2-0. Moving on to the East, we have the Miami Heat up against the Charlotte Hornets. Almost said Bobcats. I really almost did. Not even joking. But
That would have been true.
At one time, yes. The Heat are up in the series 2-0 right now. What are you guys seeing so far?
I mean, I really like Charlotte going into this. They have a bunch of young guys who play really well. Cardiac Kemba. Gotta love Kemba Walker. That man is a tournament freak. Was immortalized in the NCAA tournament forever in his run at UConn. But Charlotte's just not shooting the ball well. They can't get anything going. I think I saw him miss 8 2-foot attempts the other night. And the Heat are just so much better. Luol Deng is playing out of his mind. The Flash looks like the Flash of old.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love Dwayne Wade when he gets going. Hassan Whiteside's a freak. He's a double-double every night. And so the Heat, sadly, are going to sweep them. But I wish Charlotte would give him a fight.
I think Charlotte's going to get one, but I think it's only – I think Heat in five, definitely.
You give Charlotte a game, go Heat in five?
Yeah.
All right, to wrap up the first round of the NBA playoffs – Toronto Raptors up against the Indiana Pacers.
Okay, this is actually my favorite series.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto is currently leading the series 2-1. What are you seeing, guys?
I say Paul George is going to make this a 7-game series on his own. That dude is on a mission since he got hurt. A mission. He is a freak. And DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have been known to struggle in the playoffs. And I think Hill and George can make this a game. And I really like the young guys that Indiana has brought in. They have a good team, and I think this could go 7. I think that at the end of the day, the Raptors are going to take it in 7 because I think they're really good and they're really tall. Bismack Biyombo, Valanciunas are two really good guys. DeRozan, who's going to be a Laker next year, mark my words now. Then you have Terrence Ross, UW guy, who's an absolute freak athlete, can jump out of the gym, and Kyle Lowry is a very solid guard. I think they got it in 7, but I think Paul George is going to make this series very interesting.
I feel like the Raptors are going to win these next 2 games just because.
Really?
Yeah.
Just outright in 5.
Yes, in 5, because I feel like the first game was a fluke.
Maybe come on, Heine. I feel taken, bud. I feel taken. Come on.
Taken? Taken. Really?
That was a good joke.
Okay, I like that one, but I feel like it's going to be in 5 because I think the Raptors are way better than Pacers.
Oh, I agree. Team-wise, they're way better, but I think Paul George can make that happen.
No. In my opinion, I don't think it's going to happen because I feel like the first game was a fluke. It might have just opened up their eyes.
George had 33.
Yeah.
And 8. That's crazy.
It's crazy, but I feel like the Raptors can pull it out.
So from the first round, our matchups, according to us here at Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes, the Cavs will be playing the Hawks in round two.
That's going to be a sweep. That'll be a sweep.
The Heat will be playing the Raptors.
That's a great series. Oh, I'll watch every game of that series. Keep going.
The Warriors will be playing the Clippers.
That's a great series if Steph is hurt. If Steph's not hurt, that game goes in six to the Warriors.
Six?
Six. Because you don't have to play, because the Warriors don't play in the paint. DeAndre Jordan becomes a non-factor. Next.
So, and then finally, to wrap it up, we have the Thunder facing off against the San Antonio Spurs.
I will watch every game of that series.
In round two.
Who's Kawhi Leonard covering?
Durant.
Durant?
I think Durant. and then you put Danny Green on Westbrook? You put Danny Green on Westbrook, and you have Tony Parker guard Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters, terrible. So that's a good matchup, but I feel like I can't wait till that series, because I really think Kevin Durant is going to go beast mode and show the league.
I think he makes a lot of big shots that don't matter.
You know what? I can't wait.
He scores a lot of points, but none of them seem to work out for him. I think what is his postseason as a number one, two, or three seed? His postseason overall record is 40-35.
Yeah, 40, yeah, something like that.
That's not very good. That's just not very good. So out of this segment.
It sounds like we just need to get through this pointless first round.
I mean, if we don't see Steph Curry in this game, Houston could steal another one. That would be great. If Houston ties it at 2-2, I'd love it.
How terrible would it be for the NBA if the Rockets won this series?
Oh, it'd be awful. It'd be awful. They'd lose so much money. The only state that'd be happy is Cleveland, because then they'd win.
I'd love it.
Oh, you think if the Spurs make it, you think Cavs are going to beat them for sure?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a foregone conclusion in my mind.
We'll see how the games play out. All right, coming up next is Lacey's Losers. You will not want to miss this. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hey, everybody. Let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. We have made a trade. Drew Artisone has left the studio, and we have exchanged Drew for Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you today?
Good. How's it going?
It's going well. Had a good show so far. Lacey, it's time for Lacey's Losers. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, as promised last week, I am going to talk about Abby Wambach and her current case of a DUI. For those of you who don't know, Abby Wambach is a recently retired USA women's soccer player. And kind of researching and looking at the media with the result of this DUI, I got kind of interested in just athletes in general with their reputations or reputations on and off the field or the court. And for Lacey's Losers, I think a lot of times we're going to bash on players for their mistakes made in their sport. Mm-hmm. But in this case, this was something that was completely done outside of the sports world. And for that, I think we can definitely call the athletes that make these kind of mistakes losers, because they are in complete control of their actions outside of their sport. Whereas in the sport, I think mistakes are inevitable and we can poke fun at them, kind of like we did Jordan Spieth last week with choking on the 12th hole. But the athletes that make the mistakes off the field or off the court, that's completely on them. What do you guys think about that?
Right. No, that's totally fair. I mean, like last week with golf being such a singular game, it's really easy to be like, why did you make that mistake? You know, but as far as off the field issues, you know, whether it be something said in a press conference that really didn't come out right or was just straight up and down not smart of them. But yeah, I would totally agree that this kind of off the field issues are, you know, they're in control of what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, if you do something like this, you're probably a loser.
I wouldn't say they're a loser for doing it, because like what they did is something a loser would do. But I don't like to mark someone as a loser based on one event. Right. Like, we've all done stuff that we've regretted, but we'd hate to be judged off that one thing.
But that's think, yeah, and I was kind of defending the athletes last week when I said I didn't like calling them losers. But I do think for professional athletes especially, they have to uphold a good reputation because of the spotlight that's on them and because of the fans that look up to them, especially in Abby Wambach's case, being such an inspirational female athlete. She has a lot of young girls especially looking up to her, and I think that's completely on her, and it's a huge mistake and a huge way to call her a loser, because she knows the amount of people, the amount of eyes that are on her each and every day, so she needs to take responsibility for all of those actions.
I think since she's so popular and she did a terrible thing that you wouldn't expect from her, I think this is actually a great spot for her to make this negative turn to positive. Since she has such a following, if she speaks out to the community, I think it would be so much better for her to speak out and make it a positive. Like, she can relate to people, and like, people seeing that she made a mistake, because not everyone's perfect. Some people are gonna make mistakes. And I feel like when she does this, like, she I think she'll talk to the youth. She'll have a great response from them, because she is such a noble person, and that she, even though she made a mistake, people are going to realize that everyone can recover from a mistake.
Lacey, is it magnified because she is a female athlete?
I would say so. I mean, if you look at history of male athletes getting in these types of situations, it almost seems like it's a little brushed off. Recently, Marshawn Lynch, a couple years ago, was also in this similar situation where he got a DUI, but the media stuck up for him and said, oh, Marshawn Lynch doesn't like to be confronted by the media, so we'll just kind of brush this one under the rug. We don't want to make it a public thing, which I think is a little absurd, because no athlete wants to be approached by the media in this type of situation. Do you think Abby Wambach wants to be questioned about this? She doesn't want to be in the spotlight for this. So I think that's a little silly that male athletes can get away with it in that way.
Is it because that female women's athletics are more of a recent push? Is that why it's still new to us, and we're, you know, it's a bigger deal that Abby Wambach has a DUI or gotten a little bit of trouble, you know, one Saturday night or whatever? Or is it, like you said, shouldn't be, you know, men shouldn't get the chance to get that type of thing brushed off as easily as they seem to.
Yeah, well, I think that's interesting, because I do think that there's fewer female athletes that are more like iconic, like Abby Wambach, where she has so much success. She has 2 Olympic gold medals and a World Cup championship. So, like, yeah, I do think there's fewer female athletes to look up to, so it might be on a bigger scale where everyone's looking to her as that inspiration. Yeah,
they're definitely have a higher standard they have to live up to, because like, they're not known. I feel like why it doesn't get brushed away, but I feel like less people hear about other like NFL athletes doing it is maybe because it's happening more, and I hate to say it, but maybe we're getting used to it and we're expecting it. And I haven't seen, other than the story with Abby Wambach, I haven't heard of any woman soccer player on the national team doing anything bad, other than Hope Solo and the whole. But other than that, that's a different topic. But it's just like, I think we're in shock, and like, we didn't expect it. But like, when it comes to NFL players, boys will be boys. That's the saying, I hate to say, but that's right. Like the general assumption.
Well, maybe it seems like it gets brushed off because men's sports are covered so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marshawn Lynch's DUI may have happened on a Tuesday, but Wednesday someone else got in trouble, or some team made a big trade, or new news came in that essentially did brush that under the rug.
Oh, yeah. Like, with the story with the Abby, when it probably came out, that's all they talked about, because the World Cup's not going on. There's probably matches going on, but other than like the results of the games, nothing really big is happening. Like, in the NFL, there's always something different happening, like the trades with the Browns, with the Eagles. Next day, it's the NFL draft. It's just, yeah, everything
So to go off of that, I think with Abby Wambach, her... So, with all of her success in her past, I mean, she's a retired player now. Do you think that people will just associate her with this one incident? Because, I mean, when you... I mean, I know it's recent, but when you type in Abby Wambach on Google, the first thing that shows up is the DUI case.
I think that it will go away. I mean, it'll have to, because of the recent lawsuit that U.S. Women's Soccer has filed against. Is it the... I forget the sanctioning body. It's the U.S. Soccer in general, right? Abby Wambach was a huge part of their success in 2015 with their World Cup win, which helped them bring in more money for U.S. Soccer, which they weren't paid accordingly. Mm-hmm. So it's going to come down to the way that lawsuit goes. If it goes in favor of the women's team, you can look back and who was a part of that women's team, and you can remember the great success. And because this is going to be, the outcome of this is going to be huge for women's sports.
Yeah.
It's going to be ginormous.
I'm interested to see where it goes, because there's not much detail on it now, but we'll see in the next couple weeks where it goes.
I think, in my opinion, no one's going to care that she did it. Because you ask the average student at PLU right now, who's Abby Wambach? They're not going to say, oh, that's a retired soccer player who got a DUI.
Yeah.
They're going to say, oh, that's the really great soccer player. Mm-hmm. So I feel, and the thing is, she this is like her only mistake. So like, mm-hmm. like situations with Johnny Manziel, people are like, you're going to ask who's Johnny Manziel? A lot of people are going to say, oh, he's the person who can't stay in the NFL.
Some bum,
yeah.
Some loser, right?
Abby Wambach. I feel like this is like a forgiving state.
Yeah.
I feel like people will get over it. People realize she made a mistake. And it's really the way she acts from it.
And she has. Right. She's reacted in such an honorable way. I mean, she's talked to different schools and young kids. I actually heard that she has 22 nieces and nephews. She's the youngest of 7. So she has a lot of family members that look up to her, and she's had to deal with that. And she has done it in a respectable way. By owning her mistake and asking the youth to learn from her mistake and not follow in those footsteps.
Shouldn't professional athletes in general just have like a chauffeur or something if they're gonna go have a nice night out on the town or something like that? Like,
you would think so.
What's the situation
Uber
there?
Going?
Yeah, maybe. Call an Uber. Yeah. Worst case,
they can afford it, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
So. But
why
think
does
so.
That? Why do you guys think it happens so often? I mean, what's the? Why does it happen?
Maybe for convenience. Maybe. Maybe it's also a pride thing. Maybe it's like...
I was going to say pride.
Maybe they feel like, no, trust me, I'm good. Like, I can drive. Like,
well, and they probably all have pretty sweet cars that they want to show off.
Do athletes think that they are above the law? Are you above certain rules here at PLU, Lacey Nicholson?
No.
I
don't think so.
Okay, so then why does that translate into professional athletes in society?
TV time. You're getting money. I feel like, I've heard a bunch of stories of NFL players getting pulled over but not getting a ticket because the cops... see who they are and like, oh, that's good. You play for the Seahawks.
Ask for a picture and an autograph.
Yeah,
they probably do. Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up. I'm sure they do feel a sense of entitlement, at least a handful of them. But there's no reason for that.
Oh, no.
it's
They're no different from any of us other than the fact that they can score touchdowns and put a ball in a goal.
It's such a weird dynamic. They're praised so highly for their specialized talents and then go out and do things like this that make you go, wow, why?
Right.
Why? This is interesting. Good stuff, Lacey. Anything else to add on Abby Wambach?
Huh.
How's she going to rebound from this? You already said she's off to a good start.
Yeah, I think she's really trying to own this mistake, which is totally respectable, in my opinion.
It absolutely is. You see a lot of people sometimes just brush it off like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
If she's taking it, you know. She's saying, okay, I made this mistake. I'm going to get better from this. And that's the right thing to do in that situation.
Right. And
another reason I think it's probably getting brushed off is because ESPN probably doesn't want to talk about it because they want women's soccer to keep getting popular, and it has been. And I feel like if they keep talking about this, it will bring it down, and they know the cause and effect from it. So I feel like that's another reason it's getting not a lot of details are coming out of it.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Lacey. What do you got next week?
So I did promise that we would talk about Cam Newton, but I just didn't feel that we had enough time to get in his Basically, him being an embarrassment of a man. There's not enough time to talk about him while sharing time with Abby Wambach. So we didn't have time for him today, but we will get on Newton next week. So tune in for that one.
You would have been great to have been in here for Tough Deals.
Oh, yeah?
We talked about dancing and sports.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I can't stand him.
Heine and Drew were very for it. It's a game. Let's have fun. But Cam Newton, a lot of the things that he gets stuff for is dancing in the end zone.
Right.
What makes you – why?
I just think – I don't know. I think as an athlete, you have to be humbled in a way. You're good at what you do, but – It's a gift to be able to play the sport you play, and I think being cocky like that, and I think it's disrespectful to your opponents, and even I think his teammates. I don't know. We'll talk more about that next week, but I really don't like that little shimmy he does on the first down.
When you're good at something, you tell others. When you're great at something, others tells you.
Exactly. Wow, I like that.
Yeah. That's where Lacey's coming from.
That's where you should tell Cam Newton.
That's where Lacey's coming from with Cam Newton.
Yeah, so tune in next week. Cam's a loser you don't want to miss out on.
That's fantastic. Heine, thanks for being in studio today. No, it was a lot of fun, man.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you should just come back, stick around the whole time. We're just about done here with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend long to hear cool shows. Today has been fun for Heine, for Lacey Nicholson. I am Christian Bond. Tune in next week on Friday from 11 to 1 p.m. We're out of here. See ya.